we look at this passage. Father, as we look at your word, as we study this passage, may we learn more of who you are and who we are in you. Amen. In the Sermon of the Mount, Jesus shows us what the life of a righteous disciple looks like. And this morning we're going to be looking at giving and treasure. We'll look at motives, desires, our hearts, and rewards. Now, giving to the needy, the widow, the orphan, it's always been an important part of Jewish life, part of their divine service to God. And giving, alongside prayer and fasting, are the three pillars which came under the umbrella of religious duties, acts of righteousness, which comes from the Greek word mercies. And if you're looking at the study in the home groups, it says that according to Tom Wright, it means covenant behaviour. First one is an introduction to this part of the sermon. Now, Daphne is going to cover prayer and fasting next week. Our focus for the first part of this talk is giving. Jesus knew that his followers were giving to the needy. There was no doubt. See verse 1. Be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men, to be seen by them. If you do, you will receive no reward from your Father in heaven. Their giving wasn't the issue there. It wasn't, his concern wasn't whether they were giving, it was their attitudes, their motives. And says verse 4, he says, it should be done in secret. Now, we all know that there's so many different ways that we give. We can give our time to help people, use our skills to help people, and use our money. But this passage specifically talks about money. I like the simplicity with which Jesus sets out his lesson plan. First, by showing us an example of how not to give, then how we should do it, and the rewards for each. So first, the wrong way. Verse 2. I love the image that he gives us of a Pharisee making his way through the streets to the synagogue, clutching a bag of money that he wants to give to the poor. But trumpets are mentioned here. He could have had a whole band with him, going alongside him. All that's missing is the bunting to turn the whole thing into looking like a carnival. It goes without saying. He did what he wanted. He attracted attention. Now, Jesus gives this illustration and says to us, don't be like those hypocrites, putting on the show so people can see their good deeds. He ends, verse 2, I tell you the truth, they have received their full reward, applause, approval from others, and they will receive nothing else. Even if those Pharisees had a genuine desire to help the poor with their money, they got it wrong. They took what is an act of mercy and made it all about themselves, drawing attention. Next, Jesus shows us the right way, and he gives the right attitude to having our giving. And in verse 3, he says this: when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Earlier this week, when I was in bed thinking about the passage and what to talk about, I could not get that verse out of my head. It just kept going round and around. I was trying to work it out, and I woke up so tired for work the next day. We're told not to let one hand know what the other hand is doing. I mean, what does that even mean? It's impossible. Anyway, I came to feel comfortable with this understanding that this verse means that once we hand a gift over, we're to try and forget it as soon as we can, forget we did it, and move on to protect ourselves from giving in to that very human need for approval from others. I can't imagine any of us marching down the South Circular, blowing our trumpets. But Jesus says here to all who believe in him, verse 1, be careful. He's saying be better than the Pharisee, something he has said several times earlier in the Sermon on the Mount. But of course, there's times when it's important, it's right to talk about our giving, like in church, so that we can encourage one another, remind one another. It's an important part of Christian life. It's not optional. And it's okay to talk about our favourite charities. It's healthy. Jesus is not speaking about this. In his sermon points here is about attitudes and motives. Giving is an act of righteousness, sacrificial, done out of concern, out of love for others. It's an activity that we do between the believer and God. And when we do this, Jesus says, verse 4, your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Now, talking about rewards for serving, it can make us feel quite uncomfortable, because our idea of reward is bound up in sin. But can you imagine a world in which there's no, in which there's no benefit from doing good, no link between what we do and what we receive? There would be confusion. Nothing would make sense. There'd be chaos. The reward Jesus speaks of, we cannot earn. It doesn't work like a supermarket reward card. I mean, in our house, we use the Sainsbury's Nectar card. We save up every time we go in, save it up and spend it every Christmas when we do our shopping. But we can't earn points like that through doing good deeds on earth, and then one day in heaven, just whip the card out, scan it, and claim our reward. That would be really odd. That would be works, which goes completely against the gospel of grace. The reward is knowing that we helped feed the hungry. It's knowing that God has worked through us to bless others through the Spirit. Our reward is knowing Jesus and being known by him. It's being in his presence and knowing that he walks with us daily. Giving is an act of righteousness, sacrificial, an activity done between the believer and God, who sees all that's done in secret and rewards us. Next, you'll notice in the chapter, Jesus starts to speak about prayer and fasting. As I reminded you, Daphne's going to talk about that next week. We're going to pick the passage up at verse 19, which comes immediately after that, and it's all about treasure. What is your treasure? I had to think about that myself earlier this week. It's easy to find out. Just think of 5, 6, or 7 things that are really important to your life, the things that you need. Whatever is on your list, that's your treasure. Now, most of what we have is essential for living, like the means for looking after our families, keeping a roof over our heads, and the occasional luxury. There's nothing wrong with that. And then we spend money and time protecting what we've got because it's important to us. We buy insurance policies, alarms, mouse traps. Our treasure, they're the things that we think are essential for our happiness, our survival, and our security. And Jesus says in verse 19, if you're following, do not store up for yourselves treasure on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. Now, let's be clear about what Jesus is not saying. He's not saying that treasure and money are, there's something wrong with them in themselves. Life insurance. Having savings is not forbidden. In fact, in Scripture, he praises the ants for storing in summer the food it will need in winter. Proverbs chapter 6. And declares the believer who makes no provision for his loved one is foolish. 1 Timothy 8. The point Jesus is making here is he's talking about us placing too much value on our treasure, the things on our list. It will enslave us, our time, our thinking, our money. It will tie us to this earth. And moth and rust will destroy it. It will disintegrate, lose value, or it may be taken away from us, stolen by thieves. And even if it lasts a lifetime, we can't take it with us. Even bricks and mortar are temporal. Job said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return. Now look at verse 20. Jesus says, But store up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. Now, heaven is not a place, it's wherever God is. And to store up treasure in him is to do anything in our lifetime that has eternal consequences. The greatest treasure of them all is to win people for Jesus, to be salt and light, so they may receive his salvation too and join us. And treasure comes through building up a Christ-like character, which we do through reading scripture, worship, prayer, serving as we live our lives. Treasure in heaven, it cannot be taken from you. There's no need for protection. We don't need alarms, insurance, or mousetraps. It will not depreciate or perish. It will last forever. And Jesus says, if you want a safe investment, this is it. He holds them both up clearly to us and says, choose one. Which will it be? It's verse 24. No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. To try sharing Jesus, even a little bit, with money or any other loyalties, it's idolatry. We're coming to the end now, so a quick recap. So first we looked at how giving and how it's an act of righteousness, done in secret, out of concern, out of love for others. And it's something that we do, it's something between the believer and God. And your Father, who sees what's done in secret, will reward you richly. Then we looked at where we store our treasure and how our money and possessions will tie us to the world. But it's not how these things, it's not these things in themselves that are the problem, it's our attitude to them. We look with our eyes at whatever the desires of our hearts are, don't we? Just go to the supermarket and walk up the aisle, and we'll catch ourselves gazing at the cake stands far longer than the baked beans. Put Jesus at the center. Devote your all to him. If we allow him to occupy, to be the fire within our hearts, our gaze will go upwards and our eyes will be fixed on him. The Apostle Paul wrote in Colossians, since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. When we do that, everything else, our priorities, will become more in line with his will for our lives. fall into the correct place. Even our treasure, important, yes, but secondary. Let us pray. Father, thank you for reminding us where our true treasure lies. Help us, Father, to fix our eyes on you, and by your Spirit, enable us to be obedient and receive the joy that comes from belonging to you, Lord. Amen.